This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Do the show, bitch.
And let's get started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Do the show, man.
All right, everybody. Good morning. Let's get our heads right. It is a Tuesday. It feels like a Tuesday. Felt like a Tuesday when I woke up this morning. My least favorite day of the week, most of the time. It just always has been. But we are here. No Padre game to talk about last night. But the World Series for the San Diego Padres starts tonight. So we will talk about that for sure. I am Woodsy. It's our executive producer over there, Paul Reindel. Good morning, PT Reindel.
Good morning.
There we go.
Hey, good morning.
Nope. You got to turn the mic on.
How are you doing, everybody?
Good morning. It's cut in and out. And your friendly neighborhood sports anchor is also here, Benjamin Higgins. Good morning, Benny.
Good morning. Yes, I know what you mean about Tuesday.
It sucks.
At least for us, Monday you got so much
you're
from the weekend.
Up,
you're fired up to come out, raring to start the week. We had such a great start to the week
such
yesterday.
Such a fun show yesterday.
I mean, I thought. When we started yesterday and you told us about your Kiss concert and you went into Paul Stanley voice, I said, I don't think we'll have a better segment the entire week. And it's the first segment on Monday, and it's going to be tough to top that the rest of the week.
Yeah. We set the bar very high.
Tuesday is a little quieter. In fact, 6 o'clock last night doing the news with Kimberly Hunt, and she commented before I went on the air. She said, I'm looking at your stories. I think this is the first time in months that you don't have anything about the Padres. Because even on days off, I would always have a Padres story because just the biggest thing in sports in San Diego by far all summer. There's something going on with the Padres every single day, even when they're off. But yesterday I said, you know what? They didn't play. No one got fired. It was a quiet day. There's nothing to talk about
today. There
really
isn't.
So they didn't even make the sports cast at 6 o'clock. And I said, I think everyone just needs a little rest from the Padres. Now, as you said, they get back in action tonight. It's hard to put a lot of emphasis on this series and get too excited about it when you know it doesn't affect the Padres. Yes, they are still going to help determine who wins the National League West with 6 games against the Dodgers and the Giants. But you also know the Giants have a 2-game lead with 6 games to play. We were talking about this before the show started.
Yeah.
Going to be tough for the Giants to blow that whole lead, right? I mean, think about it. They're playing the Diamondbacks and then the Padres. What's the worst they're going to do? I mean, if they have a terrible week.
3-3?
3-3. So, and the Dodgers, then they'd have a shot. They'd have to go 5-1 to tie the Giants.
Yeah.
That would force a 1-game playoff.
Oh, my God. For the division.
Or 6-0. Sweep every single game, they could beat the Giants. But if the Giants should go 4-2, then they can't possibly do worse than a 1-game playoff. And if they go 5-1, which really they should against the Diamondbacks and the Padres, then the Dodgers can't catch them no matter what they do the rest of this week. So they're still in the catbird seat going into the final week of the season.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. I mean, obviously, if you're a baseball, this is the time if you're a diehard Padres fan, which we all are. This is when you take your Padres hat off and you just put your MLB hat on and you just watch and enjoy, you know, the teams that didn't absolutely crap their pants this season that are still in it, because the AL wildcard race is bananas. There is the potential for massive amounts of chaos, and there's potential for a little bit of chaos here in the NL.
I love cheering for chaos.
I do too.
In all sports.
I do too.
Playoff chaos.
It's some nerve. I mean, this is like. This is really, really nerve-wracking if you're a fan of one of the teams, as I mentioned, that did not completely soil themselves with massive, massive diarrhea like the San Diego Padres did. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun week, and certainly we will be talking a lot of baseball, as we always do. But I wanted to start today. We have been talking about, today, by the way, is National Drink Beer Day. And I don't think you need to prod or poke our audience very much to drink beer. And we're...
Oh, today is the day to drink beer. Today.
Everybody gets a pass.
September 28th is the day to drink beer.
But again, a very exciting time on the Ben and Woods program here, as our friends over at Burgeon Beer have created the Tier 1... Pale Ale. Tier 1 Pale Ale. The can came out last week. It looks incredible. We're going to go taste it for the first time on Thursday. And I believe it's available for purchase on Monday.
I think it's coming out on Friday. Actually.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect.
It's coming out on Friday.
Maybe I have fewer details correct about it.
Now, I'll just ask Ben. Ben.
Yes, thank you.
Do you happen to know? I've already gotten people asking me, where can they buy them? Is it only at Burgeon tasting rooms? Do you know if they will be?
Well, I don't know for certain how many kegs you're going to go out to, like, local establishments. I know, like, the Regal, Beagle, and Siegel are going to try to get a hold of some.
Sure.
Limited. It's a limited production collaboration, Ben and Woods Tier 1 Pale Ale. So it's going to be in high demand. I think the one place you can guarantee to get it will be at all the Burgeon tasting rooms in town. The flagship up in Carlsbad. The Arbor, which is their place downtown on Kettner, which is fantastic. If you live down more south, you can get it without driving all the way up to North County. They get a place out in Escondido as well. So you've got some different options depending on where you live if you want to get a hold of some of these cans or taste it straight from the tap, if it were.
Well, something tells me, too, we do have a lot of Tier 1s and listeners across the country. And I have a feeling that my ass is going to be going to buy cases of my own beer, packaging it, and sending it out to many, many people across the country. I'm not volunteering for that, but I'm really excited about it. It's a really cool thing. And you know what I love? I love that we went with the name Tier 1 for our listeners, man. That's what I really love the most. Sure, we could have been massive egomaniacs.
The Ben and Woods Brew.
The Ben and Woods Brew, right? But it's for you guys, man. And that's kind of how we do our whole show. And in fact, we're actually going to be broadcasting live on Friday. We have not done a live broadcast in, I can't even remember.
Be careful here.
We're going to broadcast live at Burgeon,
mm-hmm.
the downtown location,
right.
The one on Kettner.
Just careful.
On Friday.
Yes.
And we're going to, you and I will be there. Paulie will be back here in the mothership running the controls. But me and you will be down at Burgeon. And I think legally I'm not allowed to say that you can come down there and hang out with us. So I won't say that.
Well,
I won't say
right.
I won't say on the air that you can come down because
no.
that would be illegal.
No. No.
Right.
That's
so,
why
not illegal.
I said be careful here.
But like I think it's frowned upon because of, you know, the everything that's going
right.
on. So I won't say that you can come down
no.
there because that would be wrong.
You're going to get us in trouble.
So I won't say it.
Please,
I didn't
please
say
don't.
It.
Please
I said,
don't.
I didn't say that they could come down.
Okay.
I won't say
stop!
It. Because
just
if I
stop.
Did say it, I could get my wrist
just
slapped.
Just stop.
So
stop
I,
right there.
So that's going to happen Friday.
It'll just be a fun, it's a fun outing for us.
And?
We can't stop anyone, you
right.
know, who
that's
is in, the, in the area from saying hello.
I can't say that you
but
can't
But you
come.
Cannot invite anyone ben, specifically I, down. Yes, we talked about this.
This isn't, you know, this isn't a fascist regime. I can't tell people what they can and can't do.
No.
Okay?
But you can understand why we don't necessarily want giant crowds, you know, shutting down streets downtown.
Not that that has ever happened for the better. We'd be lucky if some people, somebody had to get seven people. So settle down, number one. I did want to let everybody know, too, 8 o'clock on that Friday, we are going to be joined by a massively, massively special guest. And that's all I will say about that. I don't want any hints. I don't want any drops. Nothing. Massively special guest, 8 o'clock on Friday. We will be, again, broadcasting live from the Burgeon tasting room down on Kettner. So I can't tell you not to come and hang out.
Right.
Because I would never do that.
Fair enough.
So it's a big week. It's exciting. And as we ramp up for our golf tournament, which is, again, November 5th, Still trying to iron out a bunch of details on that. It is, whew, it's quite an undertaking, but I know it's going to go well. I think it's going to look like the Ryder Cup when it's all said and done. We walk out of a tunnel. People are cheering for us. A big grandstand set up, possibly.
Are we wearing washable cashmere hoodies?
What are you going to wear?
I don't know. That's,
I think I'm going to go straight.
Just add to my stress level now.
I think I want to go straight Freddie Couples. Like, I want to dress like Freddie Couples. He's my favorite golfer of all time. So I want to do, like, white pants, a black sweater vest, which I've never worn on the golf course, and a visor. I want to go full Freddie on that ass. Now, white pants after Labor Day, I know, is frowned upon. I think that's out the window now. I think as far as fashion goes, there are no rules. If you've ever seen Kanye West's shoes, you realize that with the invention of Yeezys, there's no such thing as fashion anymore. Like, you could put a string on a shoebox and wear them and be like, hey, these are $7,000. Kanye West made them. Doesn't matter. Fashion rules out the window. You do what makes you happy.
Lady Gaga meat suit. You just go ahead and
do whatever
golf
you want
in that.
There are no more rules for fashion anymore. So, but yeah, thank you guys for joining us this morning. Look, no pottery game last night. I'm not going to lie. It was a nice little respite. And because I have to try to ratchet up caring for the next six games. And it was really hard. I was at the game with my son on Sunday. And it was the massive depression and sense of loss is setting in. And knowing that your team should be in it right now and battling and grinding, all of those things, and that they're not, it really stings. It really does. And so it's going to be hard to ratchet up the excitement this week, even though it is our World Series and we're playing the Dodgers. It's still going to be tough. It's going to be tough to watch.
Well, I mean, you just have to transition like I did yesterday. I started watching Monday Night Football, but that game wasn't particularly close. So I ended up watching, and our Tier 1 listener, Tony Bubbles, is going to love this. I watched tennis last night. Tennis from Point Loma, the ATP San Diego Open, and watched Brandon Nakashima and Taylor Fritz both win their first-round singles matches. Two local kids winning pro tennis matches last night. Tennis Channel, did you know it's 320 on the Cox Channel lineup? I had to find the Tennis Channel. And I actually watched tennis last night because there was no Padres game. Good match, actually, especially the Nakashima-Fabio Fognini match. Went three sets, very dramatic all the way
to
the end.
Paul, are you able to just disconnect his mic entirely, or should we just kick him in the nuts or whatever? Paulie had a really interesting night at work. And you know, it's funny, man, because I was thinking yesterday, I go, you know, Paulie's got that second gig, he delivers marijuana legally, for March and Ash, and I thought to myself, I have not had a good Rindle work story in a long time. And then Paulie hits me with it this morning, and it's in his recap. Pretty slow night last night. Had one encounter where a young woman paid an exact change. Well, she was actually 10 cents short and told me she usually tips the drivers but didn't have any more money. It's cool, though, because she said she's going to order from us again today. It's like if you worked for Domino's and you delivered a pizza. And I usually tip, but I'm going to get another pizza tomorrow. Thanks. The CEO of Domino's thanks you. I'm not on the clock tomorrow. Here's the other thing.
I know.
You can't scrounge. You don't have $3, an extra $2. You shouldn't be buying marijuana if you don't have an extra dollar. Call a dollar. Isn't that like the baseline minimum is a dollar? Give me a dollar tip. I don't have another dollar. You can't scrounge up a dollar to tip your driver?
Well, and then, I mean, you're going to have, what, 40 or 50 bucks for another order tomorrow?
Right. What, are you getting a cash infusion today? Check rolling
Tuesday
in.
Payday.
Right.
You know,
what,
like,
are you doing
everyone
here?
Gets their Tuesday checks.
It made me laugh because the way we do things on the deliveries is with the change. You know, if it's 45, 62.
Round up.
We just round up.
Yeah, $46.
$46.
Right.
Make it easy on them. So it was like something 85,
right,
and I got 75 cents. Which I asked for 52, and I got, you know, 51.75 or whatever. I just said, thanks. I'll cover
it. I got your dimes. Paulie also has to tip out a dollar from every order. That delivery cost him money. It cost him money to go do his job. What if we had to pay $10 to come into work every day? Sorry, you can't come in. Is that, gotta pay you guys to broadcast? Actually, I think there are radio stations in town that do that.
There might be.
I think there are, actually.
You got like the credit card swiper right at the door.
At the door.
Like, insert your card.
Christ, baby.
Woods might be an over tipper, though. I've seen you in action.
I just tip everybody.
I mean, if we had an elevator attendant.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Here at the Odyssey Studios. We go up to the sixth floor every single day. Someone was standing there to push the six for Woods in the morning. Slip him like a five.
Yeah, I probably would.
It's like, I mean, you'd be out by the end of the year $400 in tips for the guy who pushes the button for you in the elevator.
If a drug, if, I don't want to say a drug dealer, a marijuana delivery driver comes to your home and brings you your medicine, what you so desperately need, give that man a dollar. Or at least have the right amount for him so he doesn't cost
him money.
Well,
how about this? If you know that you only have $51.75, order $48 worth of marijuana.
$35 worth of weed.
Yes, just so you have something left over for the driver who comes to bring it to you.
I'm telling you, you're the worst. You're the worst of humanity. You really, really are. You're the worst of humanity.
I love all the customers of March and Ash.
You're
for my bosses that are listening.
You're
right
a
now.
Lying sack, Paulie.
I love all of my customers equally.
It's like me saying I love every person that listens to Ben and Woods. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't.
Got a fun show coming up. All of our guests backloaded today in the 8 o'clock hour. At 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by friend of the program, Jen Sturger, wife of Cody Decker, and budding comedian as well.
Burgeoning comedian? Is that a good
That's
way
That's fine.
To say,
it ties in with our burgeon beer,
it
if
does.
You want to use the word burgeon. She's going to be with us at 8 o'clock, talk some sports, and talk about her show that's coming up in town here this weekend.
Yep.
Is that true?
This week.
Yeah, this week. Tomorrow night.
All right. So a chance to preview what she's got going. And we'll talk to Jen coming up at 8 o'clock. And then the final Tuesday of the baseball season, Jesse Agler, one last check-in and incorporator. I mean, we won't like not talk to Jesse at all in the offseason. I'm sure we'll catch up, but this will be the final regular season visit by Jesse and the Incorporator. At 8:35, as always, all of our guests on Ben and Woods appear on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Got a Woodsy Diddy selection coming up. Did get involved in the Manning broadcast again on Monday Night Football last night. Very impressive performance by the Cowboys. We can talk a little bit about that as well. Getting started here. It is Tuesday. It's not Wood's favorite day of the week, but we're here anyway. Let's get a check of traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ever heard the story of Mr. Faded Glory? Talking to my altar, life is what you make it, and if you make it death, well, rest your soul.
Yeah, child.
Sometimes it just feels like a Woods Day on the Daily Diddy.
It is a Woods Day for sure. Any idea who this is? Never heard it?
No, I don't think so.
So you've heard of Pearl Jam?
Yes, I have heard of Pearl Jam.
This is a band, Benny, called Mother Love Bone. Mother Love Bone contained three members of Pearl Jam. This is the singer, Andy Wood. He passed away a heroin overdose right when they had released their debut record. So the guys from Pearl Jam were like, what do? We had a deal, put out a great record. Here we go, hold on. God. So Andy Wood passes away. They take a bunch of demos and send them to a guy down here in San Diego by the name of Edward Vetter. Edward listens to the tape, goes and writes three songs, sends it back to the guys. New band is born, Pearl Jam. They just played Ohana Fest Sunday. Again, one of my favorite bands of all time is an hour up the road, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? Who am I now? I'm a dad of two that can't go up to Doheny State Beach on a Sunday and then come to work on Monday. I have lost every bit of who I was as a human being. The fact that I missed Pearl Jam on Sunday. But I mean,
you already went to Kiss over the weekend.
I did, but that was a Saturday night. I mean, Pearl Jam at Doheny would have been amazing. Like, Bernie Wilson went, and he said it was just incredible. But I wanted to play a little Mother Love Bone, Crown of Thorns, because it's just one of my favorite songs of all time. And, you know, it's just weird how you think how things work out. You know, one of the biggest bands in the world is spawned after a tragic loss of Andy Wood from Mother Love Bone. So, great, great song. I hope you enjoyed it.
Check out all of our Daily Diddy selections. You can search the Ben and Woods Daily Diddy on Spotify. It is a very long list after months and months of selections.
It's great for road trips, man.
It is. Yeah. Your San Diego County Toyota dealers are proud to sponsor Ben and Woods Westwood One broadcast of Monday Night Football. Last night's score, Cowboys 41, Eagles 21. And I have to say, I'm starting to get a little bit addicted to the Manning cast on Monday Night Football. I watched pretty much most of the first half via the Manning broadcast. They had Matthew Stafford come on.
LeBron
came on, and I know a lot of people can't stand Peyton. Maybe he's just the right amount of corny for me, but
Peyton's fine. It's Eli.
Eli is not as dynamic, obviously,
one
as his brother.
But bunch, H settle 51 scat H we rail Y line can 3 jet church.
Eli gets in a couple of zingers that make me chuckle at Peyton's expense, which is funny about the size of his head or whatever. Yesterday, Peyton had a great one. Eli was kind of doing the same hip shimmy that Dak Prescott was doing warm ups on the field, and Peyton goes, you know, I don't know how that works in your boy's medium sized jeans, Eli.
And then Eli gave him the double bird.
The double bird.
On TV! I mean, there's a don't do this preview for today. You can't give the double bird on live television, Eli. That was definitely... There was a lot of gasping back at the ESPN studios. No, you can't do that.
And you know
cannot do that.
You know what's funny is that the broadcast, the regular broadcast this year is good. It's good.
It is.
I like all those
guys.
We've
been waiting for a while a solid Monday night broadcast.
So how do you think those guys feel? Say, hey, Ben and Woods, we're going to run another show next to yours in the next studio. See how that goes for you. And people
they're
can
also
just
gonna
decide.
Talk Padres.
Yeah, they're going to talk Padres, too.
They're going to put a different spin on it.
Yeah, they're going to do the analytical stuff. We're like, wait, what are we doing? But listen, I mean, plenty of money to go around for everybody. I saw people really up in arms because the Manning brothers are going to be off the next 3 weeks. So they work a couple of weeks, take 3 weeks off. That's standard, I guess. But no, even me, who is a rabid Manning, I just got over the Mannings when they played. Even I watched it last night and was like, all right, it's pretty good. Hannah loved it. She's like, oh, I like it. I think it's so much better. So
there is a lot of
it's
insight
different
as well.
Yeah,
I mean,
different.
The way Peyton watches the game and so easily will break down a play and show you, okay, the cornerback should have done this. And he said, I mean, it's self-serving, but he said, I can't tell you how many interceptions I threw in my career because the defensive player was in the wrong position. It's like,
right.
I knew where he was supposed to be, and he was on the wrong coverage, and I threw it where my guy was supposed to be open, and this guy made a complete mistake and ended up getting an interception because of it. I found it very entertaining. Now, last night's game wasn't that good. The Cowboys,
it was if you bet on the Cowboys.
Well, they absolutely dominated. Dak Prescott had 3 touchdown passes. It was 20-7 at the half. And really, I think the Cowboys had like 18 first downs to 1 for the Eagles. If not for the 1 turnover fumble in the end zone, it would have been a complete whitewash in the first half.
And don't look now, but the Dallas Cowboys have a defense. They have a young, fast defense. And they have a defensive coordinator that knows what he's doing in Dan Quinn. What a perfect example, Benny, of okay head coach, decent head coach, took him to a Super Bowl, right? I mean, blew the massive, massive lead in the Super Bowl, which has got a sting. But going in, taking that position as defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, drafting really, really well. They've got a young, fast, hungry defense. Dude, I mean, you look at that and go, okay, is this finally, finally? A lot of people said last night, too, they did the Ring of Honor ceremony. Jerry and Jimmy on the field together, Jerry presenting him with a ring. They said, curse may be broken for the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll see. It's been a long, long curse in Dallas.
One thing that I noticed last night, though, and this is one reason why fantasy football can be so, so very frustrating. Let's say you had Dak Prescott and your opponent had Jalen Hurts last night. I mean, it was a complete one-sided affair. Dak Prescott was fantastic. Jalen Hurts was pretty bad, but picked up some garbage time yards and touchdowns in the end. The final stats look like this. Dak Prescott, 21 of 26, 238 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Jalen Hurts, who had like nothing in the first half, 25 of 39, 326 yards, because they had to throw, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. In reality, it was a completely one-sided affair.
Yeah.
Dak was much better. But in like a normal scoring system, Jalen Hurts probably outscores Dak Prescott because of the 300-yard bonus,
yep,
the more yards, only one less touchdown. Interceptions are usually just 1 point against you. Jalen Hurts actually had the better fantasy football night. How frustrating is that? I've got the better quarterback. He dominated this game, and you actually would lose out on points to Jalen Hurts. That can frustrate me about fantasy football because it doesn't accurately reflect the reality of who played better at quarterback last night.
Yeah, we had some really this was a really eloquent and beautiful quote from Jalen Hurts, who, you know, again, is a young player still struggling to learn the game at the NFL level. Listen to how he summed up, the loss. Moving on from a loss.
You take you a deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're gonna flush it and move on.
One more time, if you would. I want to make sure I'm clear on that.
You take you a deuce. You don't sit there and look at it. You flush it and move on. We're gonna flush it and move on.
You take you a deuce. You don't look at it, don't you? You just flush it and move on. So that was, I thought it was
number 2.
That was beautifully put by Jalen.
Philosophical.
You couldn't have really drawn it up better.
I think Thoreau wrote that first.
You take you a deuce. You don't look at it.
You take you a deuce. You don't sit there and look at it.
You do, by the way.
You flush it and move on.
Everybody does.
We're going to flush it and move on.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the right attitude. And maybe the wrong way to say it. You take you a deuce. Have you ever said you take you a deuce?
I don't say that.
All right. All right, we need to go to
But break. Sometimes I'll just reach back and flush it without.
That's fine. Nobody needs to know. That's good. He shouldn't have said it. You shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have played it.
All right, let's move on. Get ready for the Bennewoods Open. It is coming Friday, November 5th at Encinitas Ranch. The Bennewoods Open presented by 7 Mile Casino. Open 24-7 off the 5 on Bay Boulevard, minutes from downtown. And by Maestro Dobel, the official tequila of the PGA Tour. We are still trying to work out where this season really went wrong for the Padres. I don't think there's an obvious answer here. No matter who gets fired, whether you want to blame Jace Tingler, you want to blame AJ, you want to blame the players, it's not as simple as that, which makes fixing it also a complicated matter heading into the offseason. So we're going to continue what is going to be probably a discussion that takes us, oh, I don't know, several weeks to really totally unpack. We'll get to more of our thoughts, though, as we head into the final week of the regular season. Do that coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Padres sitting at 78-78 on the season.
It's a weird record, Benny, going into the World Series tonight.
Yeah, it is.
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
Very unusual to be at this point.
Yeah.
Have such big games still remaining against the Dodgers and the Giants. Padres finished 45-36 at home, but the road has not been kind to the Padres this season. They'll open up the series tonight at Dodger Stadium. Yu Darvish will make, I suppose, his second-to-last start of the season. He should probably be lined up to pitch on the final Sunday as well.
Okay.
Whether he does or not probably depends on, you know, whether it means anything to the Giants that last day of the season. But he will pitch against Walker Buehler, is the scheduled matchup tonight. And then I don't think we know much about the rest of the Padres' pitching plans because they have no healthy pitchers. That's kind of been the problem here in the second half, at least part of the problem. But, again, don't want to simply blame injuries. We went through injuries yesterday. We talked to Will Carroll. It's not something you can just dismiss and say, oh, no, they were healthy. No, they weren't. Injuries were a part of it. But what was the? Where's the rest of the blame? Kind of live for this complete disaster of a 2021 season. We'll kind of lay it out for you when we come back right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Find your new summer soundtrack by Odyssey. There are hundreds of new stations for summer barbecues, road trips, working out, or relaxing poolside. Download the free Odyssey app today. I will point out to everybody, it is now autumn. Thank you very much. Okay, there are really, let's just divide this up right now into the three buckets, Woods.
Okay.
Three buckets of blame. Between the players, just okay, kind of in general, the manager slash coaching staff, and the general manager slash front office.
Okay, I wrote all those down.
Obviously, there's specific members of, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. takes a lot less blame than, say, I don't know, like a Will Myers this season for his performance. But in this conversation, we're just going to split it up into those three groups to try to say who came up short, who kind of shoulders the most blame for how this season turned out, which is not where we expected it to be. We all expected the Padres to be in the playoffs. I think that's pretty obvious. I mean, I'm fairly shocked that they didn't at least get a wild card. But where does the blame lie? Let's start with the front office and
okay,
the general manager slash front office.
Yeah,
now, we know ownership gets high marks for investing record amounts of payroll into this year's team.
Yeah.
You know, when Peter Seidler was asked to write the checks, he said yes.
Yes.
He pretty much, you know, greenlit what A.J. Preller wanted to do. They had a record high payroll, certainly enough that you would think, you know, top 10 in baseball.
Wasn't it top 5?
I saw ninth overall. I thought it could be even higher at some point. I think they'll have the calculations at the end of the season after
top 10, though.
Everything gets worked in. But
more than
certainly,
they'd spent before.
Certainly well more than they had ever spent before. So, you know, the money was there, which means, you know, it was on AJ Preller to allocate that money to create a roster that both had the top end talent and enough depth to get through a 162 game season. We all liked, I think, the moves generally that were made before the year. Pitching staff that looked like it had really solid top of the rotation guys and former Cy Young winners and finalists in Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. And then you had Joe Musgrove, you know, that you added in January. That was clearly a really good move. Chris Paddock coming back. And then you had a whole bucket of younger guys that you thought could certainly fill a fifth starter role. But if it was Chris Paddock or an ascending Mackenzie Gore or a young Michelle Baez or Adrian Morejon.
Ryan Weathers.
And don't undersell even the Joe Musgrove trade. Like, obviously, you went and acquired Fernando Tatis Jr. After that, though, the Joe Musgrove trade might be AJ's like next best move that he's made.
Yeah, Joe has been great.
That was clearly a good move. I mean, they gave up Joey Lucchese essentially in that deal. He had Tommy John surgery later in the year. Good, smart move by the general manager. Now, is it fair in hindsight to say, well, the Blake Snell deal obviously didn't turn out the way they expected? Blake Snell, the first half of the season, just never totally got it going for the Padres. He finally did almost after it was too late to matter, as the Padres, you know, were struggling down the stretch. Blake Snell had some of his best baseball, but the overall season that he had was not what the Padres were anticipating when they acquired him from the Tampa Bay Rays.
And, you know, I think he was...
And paid a pretty penny to get him as well. Luis Patino, one of their top prospects.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think even at the beginning, we talked about it a lot. Like, there was just something off. And even in... I think he fell victim, probably more than anyone, to the early season strategy of Jay Stengler, A.J. Preller... whoever makes those decisions. I think he fell victim to it. He showed a lot of frustration. He knew he wasn't right. But I'm telling you, man, we would talk about it after almost every start. Of course, he had some clunkers, as all of them do. We would come here and go, well, he went 4 2/3. He struck out 9, and you're in the ballgame. He got no run support early. Yeah, he walked, but he'd walked 6 guys. I mean, so he was a little bit of a victim of circumstance, and he was a victim of literally a hair off on his mechanics.
I don't disagree, Woods. I will remember back when the trade was made.
Oh, maybe I was elated.
We were happy, but the one that you're worried about, why are the Tampa Bay Rays even willing to discuss giving this guy up? He seems like he's too good to be on the market. He's still cheap. He's not a hugely expensive. Why are the Rays willing to give him up? And I think we did see over the course of this season a little bit of the reason why, while Tampa may have still liked him, that they felt like they were willing to part with him, especially for a really good package in return.
So I think it was also still game 6. He wasn't coming back after that.
Well, and the other thing I think is that Tampa doesn't pay their players ever. And so
his price was going up.
Yeah, in a couple of years for sure, absolutely.
I mean, that's and again, you can't be surprised. They're doing business like they've always done business. So I didn't read too much into the fact, like, ooh, why would they let him go? You know why they let him go? Because they're cheap as F. That's what they do.
So building the rotation and the Yu Darvish trade, I think every GM makes that trade.
Yep.
I mean, young prospects you've never heard of for a proven, you know, fairly durable Cy Young, you know, runner-up from the last season that you need at the top of your rotation. Now, Darvish didn't. He had a great first half, and then some injuries and some time on the injured list, and just did not perform well in the second half. But I'm not going to slam AJ for that move.
No.
Anyone would have made that move. So in terms of putting together a starting rotation, yes, there was more. And that probably I blame injuries more than anything that AJ did wrong. What about the bullpen? Putting together the bullpen. He added Mark Melancon late on the cheap. That worked out really, really well. Drew Pomeranz, though, relying on Drew Pomeranz and Emilio Pagan as your primary setup guys.
We were 100% on board with it based on what they have the ability to do, right? I loved our bullpen going into it. I loved our bullpen going into the 60
And by the way, it was the best bullpen in baseball for the first 65-70% of the season?
Yeah, by miles.
And
it was also they got used a lot And there was a lot of opportunity for them to showcase their talents early, Ben. They got hit hard with injuries in the bullpen. They got hit really hard. Castillo was supposed to be back, hurt. Keone Kila, hurt. You know, Pomerantz, hurt. Struggling with an elbow. Essentially even when
Strom,
he was
never
out
coming
there,
back. Strom. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was just...
All right, so in terms of pitching...
So you basically set up a good bullpen and a good rotation. So you felt really good. No one in here went, I just don't know. I'm not confident in it. We were more confident than we'd ever been in the rotation and the bullpen.
I do feel, though, that AJ may have slipped up a little bit when it came to the everyday roster. And while his hands were a little bit tied by some long-term contracts, they're also long-term contracts that ultimately he gave out to Eric Hosmer, to Will Myers, the decision to bring back Tommy Pham, and rely on all of those guys for lots of key innings, knowing they can all be streaky players. Tommy obviously had the stabbing incident, whether that affected him earlier in the season or not. He struggled badly early in the season. You had almost more than half of your starting lineup that, AJ probably was relying on that just didn't consistently produce enough.
Well, and Hosmer started off so hot, so hot at the beginning of the year, really honestly carried this team. And then it was over. It was over. Tommy was so cold, then carried this team, and then it was over. Will Myers is Will Myers. I mean, it's what you expect from him, really nice streaks. But yeah, Benny, it's just a massive inconsistency.
You put a lot of money into Jurickson, Profar, and Ha-Sung Kim.
I mean, it's wasted.
I like both of those guys, but for what you were paying for that, for utility, infield guys and outfield guys, that's a lot of dough. It's a lot of dough that you're giving up on guys who aren't producing offensively really anything that's going to move the needle for your team. So,
correct.
Overall for the lineup, I mean, you got hurt by Austin Nola, obviously. The injury situation there didn't help, but there wasn't much production offensively out of the catcher spot most of the year. I think if there's one place you can really criticize AJ, it's in that construction of the everyday lineup for the Padres this year.
Yeah, I think so, too. The other stuff, I guess you would say the extracurricular, the rumor mill of the AJ Preller regime, right? That's something that you have to look at. And as you look at certain moves that are being made right now, we touched on a little bit yesterday. It makes you a little bit nervous for the future because of the quote-unquote reshuffling of the deck of a lot of guys in the minor leagues. And you're not really going out and acquiring different thoughts and different ideas. You're promoting guys from within. I saw a quote yesterday. AJ Preller is now wanting to get all the people under him under the same philosophy. Well,
which is great. If you like AJ's philosophy, that's great.
But he's been here 7 years. They're not already under his philosophy after seven seasons. These are guys he brought in from the get-go. And then you look at the hire of Jace Tingler. You go to the playoffs. You win a series last year. If you had told me now that Jace Tingler was going to be the problem, I would have said you're crazy. It seems like everybody likes this guy. They play for him. They play hard for him. Something was lost this season. Something was lost. I don't know what happened behind closed doors, but something was lost. And where they stopped playing for him, they stopped believing him. And I don't think it was the Dodger game where he had to have, a pitcher hit. I don't think that's it. I don't think one mistake by a manager, because the Padres players had 19 chances to win that game. Jace put them in a position to win that game earlier, and they didn't do it. And you look at 1,000 scenarios like that over the season. The first Dodger game I was at, all we needed was a sac fly to win that game about five innings in a row. That's not on the manager. That's on players not being able to hit a ground ball to the right side or hit a sacrifice fly to win massively important games. So he gets the least amount of blame from me. I'm sorry. He does. People are going to be
Jace gets the least amount of blame for you.
Yes, dude. If you've got a boss that is essentially calling the shots, how is it on you? You got a boss that puts the lineup out, puts the lineup together, right? Gives you the players you need, and then by all accounts, guys, is involved in lineup decisions and construction. And then the players stop playing. I mean, Does Bruce Bochy take this team to the playoffs this year? I don't know.
20-25 record in one run games.
Well, Benny, it's going to fall on him.
Is certainly not a great look. That's one area you kind of look at a manager. Okay, in the close ones, how did you do?
It's going to
not great.
But like I just mentioned, all of those games that we all came in here and pitched a fit about, you had multiple chances to win it. You didn't need a massive effort. You needed a lazy sack fly. You needed a ground ball to the right side. You didn't get the job done. You know, it's always for me, it falls on the guys that execute between the lines. And I think the blame is on A.J. Preller, and I think the blame is on the players. Jace Tingler, I don't like the word puppet, because I don't think he's a puppet, per se. I don't like that word. I think there's a negative connotation.
Well, that's a problem, because when we're looking at the changes here, the GM doesn't appear to be going anywhere.
Right.
And you can only make so many changes to this roster. So really,
you're pretty locked in.
The coaching staff and the manager is the only place you can really make changes. And you just said that's probably where the least amount of blame
for me
lied for this season for you.
Absolutely.
So a change in that in the dugout, you don't think it's going to have a huge effect on next year's team? This is why this is a long discussion. We're just getting it started. Coming back, play some Take on Woods next. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.